You're listening to the Locked In Podcast. Here's your host, Algernon Cash.
I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. It is election season, and we've been very thankful to have a number of candidates come on the Locked In show and join us to talk about their campaign, including Governor Pat McCrory, who has joined the show and actually got word that he will be coming back to stop by the show once again. I've also talked to candidate Mark Walker, as well as candidate Ted Budd, who both also will be joining the Locked In show in the coming weeks. So make sure you stay on the lookout for that. But my guest today is a local political operative, former county GOP chairman, well-accomplished attorney here in Forsyth County, and now on track to be our region's next Superior Court judge. Aaron Berlin is locking in with us today. Aaron, how are you, man?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, man, you're someone that I've watched over the years. You've got a long list of accolades. Like I said, you've been a very successful attorney here in our region, and I think you actually practice in a number of areas throughout the region, not just here in Forsyth County. And you were head of the local GOP, so you did that stint, and now you were set to run for Superior Court judge, but it looks like you have no opposition. So you're just sort of waiting your time out, right? All the way through this year. And then you should be on the bench next year. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the best opponent is no opponent. Right. This position came open in December, and we worked really hard over the following 3-4 months up until filing period. I had endorsements from Senator Berger up, all down, from court of appeal judges, Supreme Court judges, local elected officials, on the way down. So by the time filing period came, we had a long list of endorsements, which I think shows the amount of support I have, the qualifications I have, the amount of, I guess, respect that people have for me in this position. And they really think that I'll do a good job, and I'm really excited about it.
When I came to your kickoff party that you did there at Little Richards, and, you know, one thing that I actually observed and was impressed by was the diversity in the room. You know, it actually wasn't all Republicans in the room. You actually had Republicans and Democrats and white, black, and, you know, it was just a really diverse group of people. I even saw Judge Hartsfield was in the room. So, is that sort of how you've built your professional and political career? I mean, just sort of reaching across and trying to work with, you know, anyone that wants to get something done.
Yeah, I think diversity is probably one of in the top three important things for me. I talk to my daughter, 8-year-old, about it all the time. It's important for her to have as many different friends of different races, religions, sexes, etc. I grew up here in Winston-Salem. I played AAU basketball growing up. I was one of the few white kids that was on the team. So I grew up, my diversity was very important to my dad. I really didn't even know any different, for lack of better terms. I just all my friends, or a lot of my friends, were African-American. And as I've gotten older, I've seen, you know, the diversity line. So it's been one of those things that's been very important to me in raising my daughter. But it's also, to answer your question as well, it's important, especially in a judicial role, to have support from both sides. I mean, obviously, as you pointed out, I'm the GOP, or was the GOP chair. So obviously I have strong Republican ties, but at the same time, I think it also shows the level of confidence that other people have in me, that as a judge, it's one of the most important things is to be fair and impartial. So you don't want to have someone, and you've seen this to a certain extent in the court system with the gerrymandering lawsuits where you have partisan legislating from the bench, for lack of better terms. And it's something that's always whether you're Republican or Democrat, when you come before me, you feel confident that you're going to have a fair trial and you got a good judge on the bench.
You know, in the last few years, with some of the civil unrest that we've seen across the country, a lot of it related to, accusations of police brutality, certainly a lot of frustration around some of the images that we've seen over the last few years when it comes to police interaction with African-American communities. One thing that I've always explained to people, if you really care about the kind of issues that I just talked about, you really have to focus pretty hard on these judicial races. But yet it seems like every time election cycle comes around, the judicial races are the ones that people pay the least amount of attention to, or the district attorney race is the race that people pay the least amount of attention to. For those people that are listening today, and you obviously made the decision to run for judge, talk a little bit about why these judicial races are so critically important, and why it's important that just as much as we pay attention to legislative races and gubernatorial races, we should also be watching these judicial races too.
That's a great question, and it's a great point that you bring up to your friends. I would argue to you that judicial races should probably be at the very top of the ballot if you're talking about importance level. The you can have legislation that's passed, you can have a number of things that are done, whether it's from the president on down to our state legislatures. But whatever is passed, if there's lawsuits involving that, all that stuff can get overturned. And so I'd say arguably the Supreme Court race is probably the most important, or one of the most important races on this ballot. It can shift the court to a Republican majority. It has really big impacts for our state, for our community. And I think it's something that people should really focus on learning about who the candidates are. I mean, I'll tell you, a lot of times when it comes to election season, people are calling me, hey, who do I vote for? I have no idea who to vote for. And people don't do their own research. They don't look at they just know nothing about the judges. And that's scary when you're voting for someone based on, I like this name, or, who knows what. But I tell you, it's the most important thing for me. And it's not just as an attorney and soon to be judge, but I've seen the ramifications for what happens when you have certain judges. I mean, it's just that important.
Yeah, no, I think oftentimes some people are making the decision about who they're going to vote for in a judicial race at about the same time they walk into the polls. And oftentimes people, so they're not researching the candidates. They're not really understanding, the role that the, each level of judge actually plays. And, to your point, I think sometimes they're just picking a name, whatever name sounds good, and that person ends up on the ballot. But I agree with you. I think these judicial races are critically important. And, for those folks that are paying so much attention to some of the issues behind the civil unrest that we've seen in the last several years, at the center of that are your judicial positions, and whether or not these issues are going to be seen fairly and equitable. You're on a glide path at this point to becoming our next Superior Court judge. So I imagine this year you're probably thinking more about what some of your priorities will be once you are on the bench. Are you able to talk a little bit about that today? I mean, what do you see some of your priorities being once you actually take that seat?
Yeah, and that's I get that a question a lot as well. Oh, you don't have to do anything for the next 8-9 months. But that's just completely the wrong approach to take, in my opinion. I'm not a sideline person. I've never been a sideline person. I always want to be involved in whatever political race may be going on to the extent that I can. You, even as a judicial candidate, you're somewhat limited in how you can, your name, how your name's used, financial contributions, et cetera. But just specifically dealing with me, there's just a lot to learn. And we have great Superior Court judges in Forsyth County. I would tell the people of Forsyth County, as you had mentioned, that I've traveled over the state with my last position as being a regional traffic safety prosecutor. I went around the state prosecuting impaired driving related cases all across the state. And so I've seen different counties. I've been to probably 15 to 20 different counties, maybe more, in their different superior courts there. And I can tell you that all of the Superior Court judges that we have in here in Forsyth County, I consider good friends. Their legal ability is really, really, really good. And I wouldn't trade our Superior Court judges that we have in Forsyth County for any other judges in the state. So with that being said, there's a lot to learn from each one of them. And they bring unique talents and tools to the bench that they bring a wealth of knowledge. And as you may know, I've been an assistant district attorney for about 12 years now. And so I have an extensive amount of criminal law experience. I grew up sort of in the civil law realm. And so, but for the next 8-9 months, I'm in a great opportunity where I can learn civil law. There's other aspects of criminal law. And at the end of the day, you're never going to be able to know everything. And, you know, I think that's one thing that's good about me is you rely on the attorneys that come in to educate you on certain things. Then you go and certain aspects of law, then you go back and do the research on your own. And then you come up with a decision. But it's really important to be able to listen to attorneys that come in before you. And really, it's just a time to learn this next time until January. It's great, you know, because if I was in an election, heated election all the way till November, you know, you're so focused on your race. You're so focused on what do I need to do? It sort of became a little surreal when I start seeing all the yard signs out, you know, I just thinking, oh man, I'm glad I don't have to put out 5,000 yard signs. Right. And so that's when it starts setting in a little bit, but I'm very blessed and very grateful. I'm very appreciative for all the supporters that stepped up before people were even, they didn't know who was even going to be in the race. And I asked them for the support and it was no hesitation. There wasn't who else is running. It was just absolutely, yes, you can put my name on, financial contributions, et cetera. And that's been a really great experience. It's very humbling and it's pretty awesome.
No, I think that's pretty cool, man. And I appreciate your thoughtful approach to how you're trying to take the position and, you know, really, really trying to think through things. And for my audience, as I stated at the outset of our conversation, it is election season. And so I need for you to be thoughtful as well. I need you to make sure you vote in the primary as well as vote in the general election. Doesn't matter to me what party you belong to. I know a lot of my audience members may be more conservative or they are Republican, but whether you're Republican or Democrat or whomever you support, it is so important and critically important that you let your voice be heard, that you do vote in both races, and even more important that you take a moment to actually research and understand the candidates all up and down the ballot. That's from the Senate race all the way down to the your city council or county commissioner, whomever's at the bottom of the ballot. So make sure you research those candidates. You can always continue to listen to the Locked In Show. I will bring you as many candidates and elected officials as I can to try to help you stay educated about what's happening with these races. But at the end of the day, it does not matter if you don't show up to actually vote and do something in that voting booth. Aaron, I've got to get ready to let you go, man. Do you have any closing remarks from my audience that you'd like to share?
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing is voter turnout. You know, the people, go let your voice be heard. You know, you don't want to, after election season's over, if you're complaining about something and you didn't go vote, those are the type of things that, you know, off years typically may have lower voter turnout because there's not a presidential election. But, you know, to your voters that you talk to, you know, local races and state races, they affect your daily life way more than federal federal races and the things that you hear on CNN, Fox News, et cetera. I mean, the local races, whether it be Jeff Zinger, Joyce Krawick, people like those that are running for their legislative seats, you know, those races are extremely important. And
go right ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and you know, specifically dealing with my judicial election, there's a number of my colleagues and friends in other counties that are opposed and are up for election. And it's like you said, you need to know your candidates. You need to go out and research them. You know, hopefully they're out and about doing campaigning and making it easy for people to access them. But, you know, yeah, judicial races, like I said, I'd have at the top of the ballot. They can influence and affect so many things. And those candidates are extremely important to vote for. And you know, it's hard when they're down the ballot. There's voter fatigue. They're like, it's not as important.
Yep.
But like you said, the district attorney race is down there. Judicial races are down there. And you got to go down all the way.
Yeah, they sort of get wore out when they get further down the ballot. To my audience, thank y'all for locking in with me. The other voice that you just heard joining me is Aaron Berlin. He is a longtime attorney here in our state, as well as a former chairman of the county GOP here in Forsyth County, and now slated to be our next Superior Court judge once we get through this election cycle. I'll also add he's an incredible cyclist. I've taken his cycle class before at the Y, and the guy is a beast on the bike. So he'll give you a good workout as well. But to my audience, make sure you continue to stay tuned to WTOB. That is where the Locked In Show broadcasts every Sunday morning at 7:30. If you happen to miss it there, you can always subscribe and download the podcast. That's available on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you like to get your favorite podcast. You can lock in with me there. Also, make sure you continue to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WCG. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. The views and opinions in this podcast are solely those of the contributors and are not necessarily those of our distributors or hosting company. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.